Good evening. I'd like to thank Brother Brown for letting me have this opportunity to bring a message this evening. I'll get right into it because I promise I won't be long. My old minister used to say that all the time, Mark Gaines. He said, "I shan't be long," and then 2 hours later, he was closing. So I promise I won't be that way this evening. Just a sidebar before I get started. This Friday, Yvonne told me not to say nothing, but would be our 33rd anniversary. So we won't be here next Sunday, but just pray for us for traveling grace. And pray for Yvonne to put up for me for 33 years, that she'll be able to do another 33, hopefully. All right, tonight, lesson will be coming from Mark 5. Verses 1 through 13. Mark 5, 1 through 13. And if you need a topic, the topic is crying out for Jesus' help. Crying out for Jesus' help. We'll start reading verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of Gardenia, and when he had come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains were plucked asunder by him, and the fetters were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you that by God, that thou not torment me." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thy unclean spirit." And he said, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for there are many." And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now as they were there nigh unto the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out, and went into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a hill into the sea. There was about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. This sermon, crying out for Jesus, is something that's been on my mind for a while as a member of the Church of Christ. Sometimes we cry out for a lot of things, but do we ever cry out for God or for Jesus? This man, you see, he was in a state that many of us find ourselves in. Even though he had an unclean spirit, some of us, we have sin in our lives. So that could be our unclean spirit today. That man, you could just put on your Christian ears, put on your Bible's ears. And here's Jesus. He's just got off the ship in this strange land he'd never been in before. And here this man come out of the tomb screaming and hollering. Can you just hear him saying, "Help me! Somebody help me. Lord, help me." This man is crying out, and then he would take stones and cut himself. I don't know if he was saying crying out to God. He might not even know who Jesus was. Nobody knows because the Mark didn't write that he knew about Jesus, but we know who did know about Jesus. Because as soon as Christ was on the scene, what did those spirits do? That man saw Jesus, and something triggered in him. And he took off running. Can you just imagine Jesus off the boat, minding his own business, going to try to save some people, try to teach them, and try to heal people like he normally did? Hear this man running toward him like, just imagine boat running. Or Mary Allen running, her 100-yard dash at Jesus. And he gets up there and falls down and worships Jesus. And then the unclean spirit knew who Jesus was, because the first thing out of their mouths was, "Don't torment us." So even the spirits knew who Jesus was. And the reason why they knew who he was, because they were once in heaven at one time. And when they got kicked out of heaven, they came down here with the devil. And so they were living here on earth with the devil, trying to get us to do all the things that he wanted us to do. But those spirits, unclean spirits, were there, and they knew who Jesus was. They knew who God was. And matter of fact, they knew who his father was. And so they were nervous. They said, oh, we can't mess with this man. This is the Son of God. And they even said that, the Son of the Most High. Now, when we get in trouble, it's amazing how, not all of us, some of us, instead of running toward Jesus, we run away from Jesus. And we get to that, I said, well, when I get myself together, I'm going to come back to the church. Of my 30, my 50-something years in the church, I've never hardly seen that happen, where people who say, I'm going to come back when I get myself together, you never hardly ever see them again, because once you get out there and that unclean spirit or that sin gets a hold of you and you don't get it right, it's easier to stay in that state. So looking at this man, he was crying and hollering day and night, wanting help from God, wanting help from Jesus. Jesus came on the scene, and then I wrote in my notes, I said, the unclean spirit was fighting with him and telling him, he was screaming out for help. The unclean spirit was telling him, shut up, we got you. You don't need no help. God can't help you. See, that's what sin would tell us. You don't need no help. I got you. You do what I tell you to do. Go out and do whatever you want to do. God ain't got no place for you. I got you now. But, and that's what a big but, B-U-T, he didn't know that Jesus was going to be on the scene. And when Jesus showed up, he showed those spirits that he had the power over them. He told them, who are you? And they said, we are legions, and there are many. No wonder this man had this supernatural strength. He could be able to, a legion, if you look it up, it's in a Roman soldiers, it was a legion, was 2,000 soldiers. That was a legion. Just imagine 2,000 unclean spirits in one man. He would be like Hercules. He could take those ropes and break them, and all the chains that would chain him up, he'd snap them. And he was running wild, a wild man in the tombs. And the tombs are a place of the dead. So that's where he made his home. We don't want to make our home in the tombs as Christians. And we don't want to see our friends that are not saved make their homes in the tombs. Because that's where the unsaved people are. That's where the dead people are, in the tombs. Nobody likes to hang out in the tombs. But this man, being a wild man, he did. And he ran and got a hold of Jesus, and Jesus saved him. And that's what Jesus does to us. When we were baptized, when we heard the word and believed it, we were saved. I'm making a correlation between this man versus a Christian. Because when Jesus saved this man, he did the same thing to us. Jesus saved us. But listen to what Jesus did to this man. And we read this in verse number 19. I did number 19 and 20. I did go over my notes a little bit on that. But going back a little bit, this is the difference between us and these pigs. Sometimes, I hate to say this, I think pigs might be smarter than most humans. Because the pigs couldn't live with the unclean spirits, so they ran down the hill and drowned themselves rather than put up with these unholy spirits. But we wallow in our sin long enough where it becomes a habit. I'm not saying us in general, I'm just saying people in general. So don't say Brother Hughes up here saying I'm a sinner. People in general will wallow in their sins until the sin takes over their whole life. These pigs said, I'm not letting nobody tell me what to do. I'm not letting this unclean spirit live in me. I'd rather kill myself than have this spirit in me. So are we smarter than the pigs? I hope we are, because God made us smarter than them. But in that instance, those pigs said, nope, we're not going to do it. So they drowned themselves, about 2,000 pigs. And if you look at this, what were Jewish people doing with pigs in the first place? So that's another story. They were out there feeding the pigs and taking care of them, and in the custom, they wasn't even supposed to have nothing to do with them. So they wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. Put yourself in that man. like I said, if you have sin in your life, God gives us something in our lives to help us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Think of that man with an unclean spirit that made him cry out. In our lives, we have the Holy Spirit that cries out to us when we have sin in our lives. Can you just put on your Christian ears again? Can you hear the Holy Ghost saying, you know you're wrong? That's sin. You need to get that right with God before it's too late. Or is his voice falling on deaf ears? God tells us sometimes over, if we keep on in our sins, he will give us to a reprobate mind. Well, we won't even hear the Holy Spirit anymore. He just turns us over. We don't ever want to get in that state where we can't hear the Holy Spirit telling us that we're wrong. And we all hear it if you're a Christian. You know that little nagging voice in the back of your mind. When you know you're doing something wrong, that voice is telling you that's wrong. Or you did something wrong, you blurted out something, you said, oh, man. You have to go back and apologize and get it right. That's the Holy Spirit working in us, telling us that you're wrong, that you need to get it right. Or he'll say, good job. You did it right that time. You didn't let that person push you into a spot where you know you was going to say something wrong. You stood up for yourself, but you did it in a good way. The Holy Spirit thanks us sometimes, and he keeps us motivated. He keeps us in God's love, I would say, because he knows when we're wrong, and he will correct us, but also he tells us when we did something right. We just got to listen. And that's the thing with it. We have to listen, because if we don't, we'll fall into that trap where Satan wants us, and we'll end up like this man with sin in our lives, and then we'll be crying out for help. The best thing to do is not to get into that state. But in verse 19, after Jesus had done all this stuff for this man, you see that these people in 14 and 15, they told Jesus, you got to get out of town. We don't want you here no more. You done killed our 2,000 pigs. We don't know nothing about you, and we don't know this man. We know he'd been running through the tombs, killing his, you know, hollering and screaming and cutting himself, and now he's sitting here next to the fire. No problem now. He's just sitting there calmly. We don't know what you done. So you got to go. In verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So you got to get up out of here. But we don't want you, Jesus, in our land. So he left. But before he left, the man in verse 18 and 19, he said, I want to go with you, Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I want you to stay here, and I want you to I'll read it for you here in verse 19. Howbeit it, Jesus suffered him not to say, but said unto him, go to thy friends and to tell them how great a thing the Lord hath done for thee, and have the compassion on thee. He wanted them to go and spread the good news of what he did. Same thing that we do today. God wanted us to spread the good news about his son. This man wouldn't spread the good news about what Jesus did to him, because this is a prime example. If you know this man, anybody know anybody crazy that you grew up with? When I grew up, it was two twin boys called the Kokomo brothers. And anytime you saw them, you better run the other way, because one of them either had a knife or a rock and they was going to try to do something to you. And they would come up to the school and stand out. And they probably weren't even that bad, but you know, when you 7th, 8th grade, people said, the Kokomo brothers coming. Everybody, it was like, you turn around, you stand there by yourself. That's how this man was. When this man came screaming and hollering, you know everybody ran. Everybody knew who he was, because everybody was scared of him, were afraid of him. But then all of a sudden you see this man sitting and talking rationally, talking, you know, like he had sense. He wasn't screaming, he wasn't hollering. He was sitting there being calm. And he said, what happened? This just don't happen overnight. But then this man come up to you and say, yes, this man named Jesus came and he healed me. This unclean spirit he cast out of my body, and now I'm normal like you. I just want to tell you about Jesus. Wouldn't you listen to him? Because you know this man all your life. I don't know how long he was in the tomb screaming and hollering, but most people wouldn't know him. And when they see him that calm, they're going to say, we got to know what happened with him. And then when Jesus came back in verse 22, people came out to see him, and they knew who he was. And so they actually listened to him that time. So when we go back to this story, I just want y'all to understand that when we are like this man, when we have that sin in our lives, we need to cry out for the Lord. Instead of running away from him, we need to cry out for him. There's no need of trying to say we're going to do it ourselves. This man, if he could have done it, he could have saved himself. But he couldn't. God knows that this man had been in his tomb, but he knew his son was going to come down here. He knew his son was going to come and save that man. And then, as much as that man needed Jesus, Jesus needed that man. What did he need that man for? To spread his gospel, to spread his word. Because when he, like I said before, if you know that man was crazy, and all of a sudden, boom, he's sane, not screaming, not hollering, having a rational conversation with you, you're going to listen to what he says. And he says about this man, Jesus, who came through here and healed me, but he's coming back. So the next time he comes, I'm going to want to go see who this man is. And that's exactly what happened. So in closing, this man needed Jesus, but not only that, Jesus needed him. When we need Jesus, sometimes we need to run and worship him. I talked about this in my class this morning, about our class was about unplugging, turning off your cell phone, turning off the computer, spend a little time talking with Jesus by yourself with no distractions. It was a sad class because I asked him, I said, how many out of your 24 hours a day, how much time do you spend with God? I think I had one young man say 10 minutes a day. Everybody else was less than that. What about us as their parents and friends and adults? How much time do we spend unplugged with Jesus or with God talking to him? Is it less than an hour, less than 15, 20 minutes? Same thing with this man. In our lives, we need to unplug. We need to worship God. Go in a closed room, go by yourself, and just sit down and thank him. I told the kids this morning, just tell him thank you for waking you up this morning. Spend a little time thanking him for that if you don't have anything else. Because he didn't have to do it. But we all need to spend a little bit more time with Jesus and find that place and unplug and be there with him, because God wants us to worship him. He wants us to need him. He doesn't need us because he's the ruler of everything. We need him more than he needs us. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he talks to us and tells us when we're doing right or wrong, because that is the voice of God telling us things that we need to know. God is waiting for us to make the second move. Most times we're waiting for God to make the first move, but God is waiting for us to make the second move, because remember, he already made the first move when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. So he don't even have to make another move. He made the first one. He's just waiting for us. So tonight, you've heard the word, and I hope it resonated with you this evening. If you have sin in your life, or you need prayer, or that you need healing grace, or you need the church to pray for you, in the moment we're going to stand and you can come down, fill out a card, the church will go to God in prayer for you. If you are not a member of the church, and there's one way, but there's five steps to become a member of the Church of Christ. And when I say a member of the Church of Christ, we can't add you into nothing. If you read Acts 2, God adds you. We don't do anything. Only thing we do is follow those steps and we'll baptize you. And then when God does the rest. First step, you got to hear the word, which you heard tonight. Then you have to believe the same, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's all the gospel is. It talks about Jesus. Then you have to repent for those sins and promise God that you're not going to go back that way again. Confess the greatest confession ever, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then you have to be baptized. And when we say baptized, it's not a sprinkle or pour. You have to be like Jesus. Go down under the water, and when you come up, God is going to do three things for you. He's going to add the Holy Spirit to you. He's going to give it to you, which we talked to tonight. That same voice that we hear as Christians, you will hear it. The second thing he would do, he would forgive you for all your sins that you ever did. And last but not least, he will add you to his church. The only church that was ever written about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. So at this time, if you find yourself in any of these states, please stand as we sing the song of invitation.
If you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you